This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi everyone, it's Simon Smart.
And I'm Justine Toe. Tonight we're going to be talking about collaborative consumption. And Simon, I guess you've been reading a book about this.
I have, Justine. It's a book by Rachel Botsman and Rue Rogers. It's called What's Mine Is Yours, The Rise of Collaborative Consumption.
And what are they referring to exactly?
Yeah, they're describing something they say is already happening. According to these guys, it's a groundswell of social and economic change that's really to do with sharing resources. They reckon that philosophers and economists and marketers and so on are starting to look at this as a shift in how we live, importantly, how we consume and how we do business.
And I'm thinking that it's a welcome shift, is that right? So it would be some sort of reaction against hyper-consumerism and this mass production of goods and services and, you know, finding an alternative to all that, is that right?
That's right. At the beginning of the book, these guys paint a truly horrifying picture with lots of statistics on the rate and the scale of consumption that our society gets through. These are shocking statistics about how much we've become obsessed with stuff. Consumerism, something you talk a lot about, Justine.
My favourite topic.
And the great, you know, costs associated with that, so in both environmentally but also personally in the way of relationships, our family, our community life.
And presumably they're thinking that something more positive is on offer.
Yeah, they'd set that up in order to show the alternative or the sort of the antidote. Mm-hmm. There are heaps of examples of the sort of collaboration in interactions that they're also talking about. Things like car sharing facilities and bike sharing, the establishing of neighbourhoods, sharing of tools and other equipment, things that you might, like me, you know, I've got a drill in the cupboard I use once every couple of years, sharing that type of thing. There's sharing of land where people rent out little parts of their land for people to come and grow vegetables on them. There was one that stuck out in my memory from the book was a neighbourhood cul-de-sac that had all this sharing stuff, including they put together a neighbourhood pizza oven, which I thought sounded like a great idea. But there's also the more global aspect to this. There's a connecting people who want handmade goods rather than mass-produced stuff. There's sharing of skills. So I'll fix your teeth and you'll give me legal advice.
I'm not sure if you want my legal advice,
nor my dentistry skills. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Sharing of space was another one. Renting out parts of your house to travellers, or people sharing office spaces and resources in that sort of way. Goes on and on and on. And these guys reckon this is a massive shift in what people are willing to do, and they say it's already happening.
And what is the nature of this shift?
Well, it's on less emphasis on ownership, which we seem to have become obsessed with. People are seeing the value of sharing rather than owning. There's more of a sense of a community, a connection between people who are buying things and those who are selling them. And the farmer's market, which has become incredibly popular, is a great example
absolutely.
Of this, where you're talking to the guy who's raised the whatever it is, the eggs, selling the avocados, whatever it is. There's a concern to be less wasteful and to create less damage to the environment. That's part of this.
So is it a whole generation that's getting on board with this, or is it just a few, well-meaning bunch of people who say that we should, be sharing more?
I think there's more to it than that. They've put together a pretty convincing case in that there's real interest in the common good. They think this new way of doing things means you can have more productive, meaningful engagement with others while you use resources. And they think you can do this without giving up too many of your freedoms and the lifestyle that you might enjoy.
Why do they say that this is happening, or what's the reason for that?
Yeah, the key is the internet. They say some of these things might have existed in smaller forms before, but the internet has enabled it to really take off. And we might wonder about some of the negative impacts of the net. We've talked about some of those on this program. But clearly it can be harnessed for great good. And the book is exploring how the net facilitates these incredible networks that enable collaboration, this word that they keep using, to take place. There's bartering of goods, there's swapping of goods. I've got my old Bruce Springsteen CD. Oh, actually, I wouldn't swap that. but, an old CD I can swap with you. You're living somewhere else and you've got something that I might want. That's swapping sort of thing, sharing. Another one was interesting, time banks, where for every hour you spend doing something useful for someone, you can bank it and spend it with someone else doing something useful for you. So, you know, someone might fix your car, which in my case would be most welcome, and then I might be able to do something for them. All that sort of thing. And it, all of this, Justine, requires shedding this hyper-individualism that I think has become so much part of our culture.
So, Simon, what's your sense of this movement? Do you think it's going to take hold? Is it something that we should be excited by, or is it more of a fad?
It may be a little overly optimistic in terms of people's motivations and especially their willingness to give up on some of their interests for, you know, a more admirable focus on community and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think real community costs us, doesn't it? This still feels like, you know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. There's like a transactional arrangement going on, it seems like.
It does. I think you're right. Real community costs us, and sometimes it's cost us with no hope of getting anything back. You know, we're really looking after each other. But nonetheless, this is, it's better than no community. And they're talking about something that I think is quite positive. I find it personally both encouraging but also challenging. We do need to move away from this obsession with consumption. As Christians are called to care for God's earth and to be good stewards of creation, and I guess we're not doing that. We're trashing the planet. I feel like I'm part of that. So as a Christian, I can see real connections between, you know, my faith and what's being spoken of here. Also, the idea of connection and community that's largely been lost in modern lives, where our houses, a big screen TV and our career sometimes come at the cost of real relationships and family. And so Christian belief tells me that relationships, loving God and other people, is the key to life. It's what I'm called to do. And in as much as collaborative consumption that's being spoken of here helps me to do that, then I'm all for it.
Right, okay. So the message seems to be that collaboration, consensus, community, all these are really good values that resonate with the Christian way of life.
They do, and they say this is happening. And I suppose as a Christian, I think, well, I can get on board with this. It's something to be excited by.
Yeah, I'm excited by it. Sounds really good. Thanks for that.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.